So Jesus taking judgment for sin is a pretty universal thing that everybody's going to nod to. It doesn't matter whether you're Catholic or Mormon or Jehovah's Witness or Methodist. It doesn't matter. They're all going to tell you that much. Jesus took judgment for sin. But that's cheap once you start getting into what they actually believe. Because people that say Jesus took judgment for sin will also say a few other things. They'll also say that God is punishing people today for different things. Yep. Or that when you do certain actions, that God is going to allow certain things to happen to you. We claim that when you do these different things, you have stepped out of the protection of God. God won't protect you. God will therefore allow something to happen to you because of these various different things.
Well, they say that you've fallen out of the will of God, right? You've opened the door.
Right. We have all these scenarios. We have all these analogies and stuff like that, you know, as to just to make it almost our point a little softer when we talk about how, you know, if you do this, well, I mean, bad things are going to happen to you just because this, and God's not going to protect you if you go out and do this. So what we're saying is we're talking about receiving by our works, right? And furthermore, what we're saying is that God will allow things to happen to you or cause things even to happen to you, maybe to teach you, maybe to teach you not to do that again. But what we're saying is that God is imputing sin to you. That's what we're saying, right? Because think about it. If you sin and then God reacts to your sin, think about this for a second. If you sin and then God reacts to your sin in accordance with your sin, that means that he's imputing the sin. He's counting the sin. That he is imputing your trespasses to you, you could say. And you know, that's the first verse that we have written down here, 2 Corinthians 5:19. It says, that is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now, what Paul's talking about here is he's saying that under the law up until this point, God was imputing trespasses, only under the law. Now, we're going to get into this in a second. Before the law, God wasn't imputing sin to people.
Yep.
So that means from, you know, Genesis 1 all the way to Exodus, like, 19 and 20, when the law was first spoken, mm-hmm. Ten Commandments were first spoken, that whole time from Genesis 1 to Exodus 20, God wasn't imputing sin to anybody. Right. He wasn't, and why is that? We'll get into this in a little bit, but so I won't even go into why that is just yet. But God, under the law, though, God was imputing sins to people. Particularly under the law, sin is called trespass. The word trespass means law-breaking, where sin just means you did something wrong. You know, you could sin before the law, but you couldn't trespass the law of Moses before it was given, right? So when it says here God not imputing their trespasses to them, he's saying God was not imputing people's sinful actions that were currently or previously under the law of Moses that were against the law to do these different things. But when Jesus came, God stopped imputing people's trespasses to them. And why was that? Because Jesus came to have our trespasses imputed to him. So God has already dealt with people's immorality, and God's already dealt with people's sin. That's something that's already happened. And God is not ever going to do it again. God will never impute sin ever again to somebody. Right. The last sin that was ever imputed to a human being was imputed to the body of Jesus. And God is not dealing with the world anymore in accordance with their sin at all. That's what imputing means. It means I count it against you, right? Yeah. And I'm not saying, this is not the topic of the night, unless you are a Christian, unless you're a believer and believe in Jesus, you are not forgiven of your sins. Forgiven means something else. Forgiven means you've been made righteous. Right. That's different. I'm not saying, so I know sometimes people conflate this and they say, well, the whole world is forgiven then because God's not counting their sins against them. Well, no. That's this, forgiveness and God not counting your sins against you are two different things.
Correct. Most people don't know that they're two different things.
Right. As to the world, God is simply not judging them anymore or dealing with their sin anymore, right? But that's not forgiveness. Forgiveness is the opposite. Forgiveness means not only that am I not dealing with your sin anymore, but when you're forgiven, the record of your sin in heaven is blotted out. And that means that God deals with you as if you have never sinned. He deals with you as being righteous. With people that are of the world, he doesn't deal with them as righteous individuals. He just simply doesn't judge them for their sin. So they don't get the blessings of being righteous. They don't get they're not counted or imputed righteousness. They're simply not, their sins are simply not imputed to them. And that just, so again, to clarify this, the world is simply just not being judged for sin. But God is not, God's hand, his blessing, his power is not working in their favor though. Neither are they righteous before God. You have to receive Jesus for you to receive the benefits of it. But because God has already spent all judgment on Jesus Christ in his body 2,000 years ago, for all time, all judgment, if judgment for sin is taken in the body of Christ, then we cannot look today or anytime in the future and say, well, God is doing this because of your sin. What do you mean? Why, how can God be dealing with the sins of the world if we say that God's already judged the sins of the world in the body of Jesus Christ? Then that means that God's dealing with the same sin twice. Right. That means God's dealing double the punishment for the sin. So there's like as far as a ratio, it's like a 2-to-1 ratio then, and not a 1-to-1. That's not just. The Bible said that God delights in a just scale. That means a 1-to-1 ratio. That means if your sin is this much, then I punish that much. Well, guess what? Our sin was this much, and he punished Christ that much. That means there's nothing left for you. But if God punishes your sin in the body of Christ, and then he punishes it in your body, or deals with your sin again in your life, that's not just. That means I've dealt with your sin in Christ, and I'm dealing with it again in you. This is another one of those examples of anti-Christ teaching. To say that God's punishing anything today, again, I'm not saying that if you're unsaved, you get the benefits of being a believer. You don't. You don't get the benefits of being a believer. You know, as far as you receiving from, you can't receive anything from God unless you put faith in Jesus, because he's the only way to the Father.
Right.
But just because you haven't received, think about it, on God's end, if I'm God and this is the world, right? You may not have reconciled yourself to me, right? You may not have made peace with me. You may have enmity in your hearts toward me. And like James says, you may make yourselves an enemy of toward me, right? An enemy of God. But I'm not your enemy, because on my end, even though you don't receive my benefits through faith in Jesus, I can't judge you though, because I've already spent it on Christ. So whether or not you believe is beside the point. Judgment has been spent whether you believe or not. Whether you believe what Christ did or not doesn't mean that I have any more wrath to spend. The wrath of God was taken already. And just so you know, for instance, abortion, right? We hate abortion. That's the biggest killer of human beings today is abortion. And whether you agree with that or not, I don't care. The Bible says that, you know, God deals with human beings even while they're yet in the womb. He has plans for people, human beings, even while they're before they're even born. Yep. John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit even when he was even born. So obviously, birth is not the point where you become human, right? That's a fabricated thing. But yet, people will say, you know, people that I even agree with politically on that end, right? That abortion is wrong. Yeah, I hate abortion, right? I believe that you should either, you know, abstain from sleeping with somebody, or use some kind of way to stop your seed in one way or another, or go with adoption. But don't kill somebody just because you made a mistake in sleeping with somebody, right? Great. All that's great. But people will say, you know, with the way we're killing human beings, how can the wrath of God not be on America? Okay, wait a second. Who's missing in this picture? Think about this for a second. How stupid are we? How stupid are we today as the church? Who's missing here? If you just look at people's sin and God, then you say, well, how could the wrath of God not be on America if our sin is so grievous? I'm not saying sins aren't so grievous, but who's missing in this equation? A little person I like to call Jesus Christ. Because if you look at things in light of Jesus, how could God judge America despite how grievous people's sins are, when God has already judged those grievous sin grievously in the body of his son Jesus Christ? Do you think that he missed something? How stupid are we? Do you think Christ missed something? You think there was some judgment for someone's abortion that Jesus missed? So when someone says, is abortion wrong? I said, yeah, but that's a judged sin though. Is it sin? Yes, but it's a condemned sin. It's not something God's going to condemn you for. God's not going to condemn you whether you believe or whether you don't believe. Like I said, you not believing means you can't receive the benefits. But you not believing doesn't change the fact that judgment has already been spent. And it has been spent fully. And it's been replete in the body of God's Son. There is zero judgment from God toward people's sins.
And, you know, part of that, too, is what we were just kind of talking about in the little clip before about the finished work of Jesus Christ. It's like the first thing that you see, is this very topic, right? When you say, okay, the finished work of Jesus Christ, well, what did he finish? The main thing that Jesus finished on the cross was the judgment for sin. So I mean, and it's one of the verses that we have here. So in John 12:31, he says, now is the judgment of this world. So he was emphatically making a point there, and this is John 12, right before he's going to the cross. He's saying now in this that I'm going to go do in this cross that I know that I'll bear. He's saying, now, and this is the judgment of the world. And it says some other things in here that we're going to go over later. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And if I am lifted up, I will draw all. And that word peoples is
italicized.
It's not even there. If I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all to myself, right? I will draw all condemnation, all judgment to myself. This, he said, signifying what kind of death he would die. Like, when you begin to learn, like we were just saying before, like, my gosh, like, how beautiful it is to know that as a church, our main focus is on the finished work of Jesus Christ. Like, exactly. How liberating is it for us to know that he finished our sin? That you know what? It's not about, some people say, well, you got to call sin. Sin is sin, right? Anything that's wrong is sin.
And the cross is the cross.
Right? But the thing is, we want to deal, because of our scale, we want to deal with different kinds of sin in different ways. We want to deal with homosexuality this way. We want to deal with murder this way. We want to, there are things, even laws in the world that condemn death, that have sentences. But as far as God is concerned, right, he has dealt completely, I mean, I forget the word they used a little bit ago, but completely and utterly, he has dealt with sin, the judgment of sin. So that means that exactly like you were saying before, because he said, in this is the judgment of the world, that we as the church would come to a place where we understand that we never again, God does not, and we never have to deal with people as far as salvation is concerned, preaching the gospel to them from the angle, right, of their works. Right, that right. If they get their works together, if they get their act together, then they can come to church. If they get off drugs, if they quit drinking, whatever it is, we try to deal with the actions of people, and yet it is so far from that. The good news is that to people we can say, like you were saying before, that God has given us the word of reconciliation, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself for the world to be able to know, no matter what they have done and no matter what they're presently doing, that God has been reconciled to them, and that if they would put their faith in Jesus Christ and faith alone, nothing else. God is not asking anything else from people. He's not asking them to change and then start going to church and then put faith in God. But that if they would begin to listen to the gospel and they would come to a place of faith in Jesus Christ, that they would be saved. It's just the finality of that. It's just such
and again, something you said about laws before, so is it right then for the United States to condemn certain acts because there's no mm-hmm. condemnation, there's no God's already judged all sin? But no, but don't misunderstand. Jesus is not the intercessor between you and the United States government. Jesus is, the Bible says that there's one mm-hmm. intercessor, one mediator between God and man, and that's the man Jesus Christ.
That's good.
So just so you know, God has made peace between you and himself. God has reconciled himself to you. Now, obviously, if you haven't put faith in Jesus, you have not reconciled yourself to him. He's made peace on his end toward you. Doesn't mean you've accepted him. You know what I'm saying? So there's that two-way street, but what Jesus did was to reconcile the relationship between you and the Father, right? So God's not judging you, but if you speed, for instance, the law will condemn you, and rightfully so. And there are reasons for that. I have in the past years had kind of better understanding on these kind of things, but than years previous. But that is important also, that God, Jesus is the reconciliation between God and you. So for instance, when you punish your child because he does something wrong, Jesus did not come to be the intercessor between you and your child. You have to punish your child to show them something. Okay, you don't do that, and then you can, punish them accordingly or whatever, things like that. But as far as God's concerned, what we're talking about, God is not judging anybody, not punishing anybody, saved or unsaved. His wrath is not against the world for their sin. Here's the thing. I'm not saying that, well, sin has to be judged. That's exactly actually what I'm saying. I'm actually saying that sin was judged. I'm not saying that sin shouldn't be judged. I'm not saying that God's wrath shouldn't be revealed against all unrighteousness. I'm saying that God's wrath was revealed against all unrighteousness. You understand what I'm saying? I'm saying that wrath was revealed, and there are other verses. We're going to go into more verses about this, right? But I'm saying for people's sins, right? God has already judged all those things in the body of Jesus Christ. And especially as a believer, when you sin, what should you expect from God? Or an unbeliever, for that matter, if you're not saved. When you sin, what should you expect from God? Nothing. No judgment. There's no response to your sin. For a believer, you're going to get treated like you're righteous according to your faith. As usual, God still perceives you righteous. for an unbeliever, God still sees that you're in sin. He still sees you as a sinner still. He knows that you're a sinner. Whereas a believer, he knows you're righteous. And he sees you perfectly clean and blameless, whereas he doesn't see the world that way. But he's not judging them for their sin, though.
That's why he says there is now no condemnation
right.
to those who are in Christ Jesus.
Right. And if you were to read that verse, though, because the problem with that verse is that obviously that's specifically about those who are in Christ Jesus. And what we're saying is that there's no condemnation from God toward people's sins for the whole world.
Correct.
Right. But I'm not going to go into that verse because the verse is talking about specifically other forms of condemnation as well, in which it's saying there is no condemnation at all for those who are in Christ Jesus. We're going to go over that, right?
Yep.
But what we're talking about, so you can't say, well, that verse doesn't say the whole world. That verse says there's no condemnation just for those who are in Christ Jesus. Right, but that condemnation that he's talking about in that verse is specifically talking about all forms of condemnation, which you'll see shortly. There is not any form of condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus at all. For the world, there are certain forms of condemnation that are true for the world, but it's not from God, okay? So we'll get into that. But it's important to understand from these verses, especially John 12, which maybe I'll just run through these again too. John 12, when Jesus says, now is the judgment of this world, what we're saying is that that's referring to what he did at the cross. Now is the judgment of the world. Jesus said 2,000 years ago, the judgment of the world had already happened or was about to happen. And he is talking about the cross. That's why in verse 33, referring to everything he says previous, he says, this he said, signifying by what death he would die. So literally, when he says, now is the judgment of the world, and I'm going to be lifted up from the earth, he's referring to the death he would die. So in Jesus' death, Jesus calls his death the judgment of the world. So if we, as preachers, are saying, you know what, all this sin in this world, you know what, the judgment of God is on this world, and how could it not be because of the sin? Well, again, you're saying something that's totally off base and ridiculous, because Jesus says the judgment of the world has already occurred,
yep.
and that occurred in his body on the tree.
Yep.
Again, Isaiah 53:5 just says that the chastisement for our peace was upon Jesus. Chastisement means punishment. So that means the punishment so that we could have peace with God was upon Jesus.
Yep.
So if, and again, the world doesn't have full peace with God. The world has peace from God, but the world hasn't made peace on their end with God, right? So when James talks about how they make themselves enemies of God, or Paul will say that they have enmity in their mind toward God, that's on their end.
Right, not on God's.
Right, on God's end, he's made peace with them. So God is peaceable with them, even if they're not peaceable with him.
Right.
For them to be peaceable with him, that means they'd have to receive his truth and receive his gospel, right, and put faith in Jesus, which they haven't done. But God still made peace toward them and said, hey, I'm not judging you. I'm not mad at you. Whether or not you want to receive me, you know what? I loved you first. You, even without you loving me and returning that love by believing me, you don't have to return my love for me to have already loved you and for me to have already demonstrated that love toward you and for me to have already said, I will never be mad with you, though. Even for all eternity, which is what we're actually going to, one of our main points tonight, even for all eternity, even when Jesus comes back, I will never be mad at you for your sin because of what you've done. I will never be angry with you. I will not pour wrath on you ever again for sin, because I've already done that in the body of Jesus Christ. And if what we're saying as preachers, in our stupidity, because that's exactly what it is, if what we're saying is that, yeah, oh yeah, Jesus died for our sins, God judged sin in the body of Jesus, I agree with that, and then we're telling people, or even if you're not saved, that God is still judging sin today, then what we have is a double jeopardy issue now. We have double the punishment for a singular sin.
And a double standard, too.
Right, and you cannot say that God is dealing with punishment twice for just one sin, because that would be unjust. That's not just scale. Again, the chastisement for our peace was upon Jesus. So you know what that means? Because Jesus was chastised for your sin, you have peace with God. Whether you're saved or whether you're not, that's actually the welcome mat for every single person that's not saved, is that you don't have to get saved for God to not be mad at you, but you do have to get saved to get any of the benefits and to receive eternal life. You do need to receive Jesus and believe on him. But guess what? The beauty of this whole thing is that God already loves you, and God is already not mad at you, and God will never, ever be mad at you. But you know what, though? You can still die, and you can still come into what we're going to talk about, into some ugly stuff, without receiving Jesus. You need to receive Jesus to get any benefits and to receive eternal life and to receive the benefits that Jesus came to bring you. But you know what, though? Even before you receive those benefits, which, trust me, I advise you, we implore you to do so, even before that, though, God is not mad at you. And if you're a Christian, how much more, now that you're justified, how much more can you say that God is not angry with you, ever angry with you, and that's been poured out on Jesus on our behalf already. And if you're a believer, God's dealing with you as if you've never sinned, and God's dealing with you as you are, as righteous as Jesus Christ is himself.
And people would say, you know, like, so what am I supposed to do? Like, when I sin, which we're saying when you do something wrong, right? When you sin.
For a Christian, you're saying.
Right, yeah. For a Christian, then, like, what do I do? Like, how, I mean, aren't I supposed to, which goes into other stuff, but, like, am I not supposed to ask God to forgive me of my sin if I'm already been forgiven, if I've received the forgiveness of my sin? But the very point of that is that if you understand what Jesus Christ finished and you have received, because if you are a Christian, right, you have received the atonement of Christ for your sins, then that means you have received the forgiveness of your sins. You've been forgiven. So if you've been forgiven of your sins, it's interesting how we try to revert back to having a consciousness of sin, which is the very thing that the consciousness of what Jesus Christ has finished, in other words, the knowledge of what he's already done, how that could remove from us the consciousness of sin, so we don't have to be so sin conscious. And I mean, that's really the thing to do. The thing to do, you know what, when you do anything wrong, your mind, where your mind will begin to go every single time, is thanking Jesus for the fact of, for everything that he's finished, for the fact that this doesn't have to be a constant thing in your life, that you don't have to live in this cycle over and over again in these problems, but to be able to know that the Lord, you know what, that he has, not only has he, you received the forgiveness of your sin, but you've also received deliverance. He's delivered you from the things of this world. He's delivered us from this evil prison age. So right. It's just good. I know we're getting off there of judgment a little bit, but.
Right, if a Christian sins, good. You thank God you're righteous.
Thank God for that.
God has no reaction to your sin anymore, or that particular point. God not having a reaction to your sin goes for the world as well. God reacted to your sin before you ever did it because he did it in the body of Jesus. And if we're actually going to hold true to what that actually means, that sin was judged in the body of Jesus Christ, yep. And how is it that it doesn't make any sense then to say that God's judgment is on sin today?
ReformInUs.com